You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. On today's show, we have no Mets game to discuss, and it is a Friday, so we're going to do a farm report. I want to talk about Mark Vientos in the first segment. Vientos really struggled out of the gate, but he's gotten hot in May, and it's getting closer and closer to when we could begin to talk about Mark Vientos getting a promotion to the big leagues. He certainly has a higher ceiling than any option the Mets currently have when it comes to that designated hitter position. So I'm going to go through what the timeline on that could be. Then in the second segment, a guy that I think might end up a little bit closer to the big leagues just because of his age in Jake Mangum. Could we see him maybe replace Travis Jankowski at some point this upcoming month? I'll talk about that. Then we will close the show today with a series preview as the Mets are about to take on the Philadelphia Phillies for the fourth time this year. So I'll go through the pitching matchups and what to watch out for this weekend. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at JustBaseball.com. Now, Mark Vientos started off this season slow. Hit 164 in April, 257 on base, 311 slugging, one home run, one triple, one double. In the month of May, he has finally turned it on. He's hitting 321, 397 on base, 643 slugging, five home runs, three doubles. He had three more hits tonight. It's starting to click for him. When you look back at last year, very similar start to the season. Now, they didn't play in April last year, but in May, his first month in Double A, he hit 231, 279 on base, 410 slugging, three home runs, five doubles. Then in June, he hits 324, 407 on base, 775 slugging, nine home runs, five doubles. Overall, by the end of the year in Double A, he hit 281, 346 on base, 580 slugging, 22 home runs, 62 RBIs, and a 144 WRC plus. Again, WRC plus, which is weighted runs created plus, measures hitters based on a league average of 100, so 44% better than the league average hitter. He was then promoted to AAA in 11 games there. He added three more home runs to take his season total to 25, hit 278, 395 on base, 583 slugging. Now, last year when he struggled at the start, we thought, all right, this was a big jump. He never played high A, went straight from low A, and because of the lost season, went right in to Double A and was able to handle himself, but it took some time to get there. So we thought it might just be a learning curve. While he finished last year in Triple A, there was only 11 games played and he was red hot when he got there. So maybe this was another little bit of a learning curve for him. And now he's starting to figure it out and he's going to start to put up really big numbers. What I've always loved about Mark Vientos is he has real time game power, not just power where, you know, in BP, the guy can hit the ball a long way. In games, the power has shown up as home runs. And right now, as we talked about a little bit on yesterday's show, this is a Mets team that's a little devoid of power right now. They have Pete Alonso. They have Francisco Lindor. They have 19 of the Mets' 39 home runs. The rest of the team is struggling. Mark Canha and Starling Marte have four, and nobody else has more than two. So you need to find some pop in this lineup, particularly in that DH spot. And if you go back to the offseason, I have been saying for a while that I felt like Mark Vientos had the highest ceiling of any DH Mets option on the Mets 40-man roster. Now, I also said in the offseason that I thought the Mets should give him a chance to win a job in spring training. Clearly, it's good that they didn't because he got off to such a slow start. Just imagine how much that would have been magnified and the talk that would have been surrounding it if it was at the big league level. Clearly, he wasn't ready. I don't even know if he's necessarily ready yet. But I do think that you're talking about a player that just has so much promise for this team. If he can find a way to be a little bit more consistent, particularly at the start of the seasons, if he can find a position, that's another question that he's going to have. But he is a guy that could hit 40 home runs for you in a full year. And you look up and down the Mets roster right now, who else can do that outside of Pete Alonso? I mean, Lindor's more 30 home run pop than 40 home run pop. Francisco Alvarez, you can dream about that, but that's still a little bit further down the pipe. And on the big league roster, there really is nothing else. You have Eduardo Escobar for this year and next year, and we know Escobar has not looked great in the power department so far. This is a guy that can change things for the Mets. And the one thing I'll say is, you know, as much as J.D. Davis is hitting the ball hard, and I've recently started to campaign for some more playing time for J.D., he doesn't hit home runs. He really hasn't since the juice ball season. More of a line drive hitter. And so I think that this is where the Mets still have a problem, because J.D., as long as he's on this roster, he blocks Vientos. But Vientos is a player that could take this Mets team to another level. One of the things that I did the last time I talked about Mark Vientos on the show at length, and I also wrote an article for Just Baseball about it, is I compared his last minor league season, or his minor league season, I should say, in 2021 to Pete Alonso's last minor league season before he got promoted at the start of the 2019 season. You look at the numbers, you know, Pete Alonso in 65 games played at Double A, hit 314, 440 on base, 573 slugging, 15 home runs, 52 RBIs, a 180 WRC plus, goes to AAA, 260 hitter there, 355 on base, 585 slugging, 21 home runs, 67 RBIs, 139 WRC plus. Pete Alonso hit 11 more home runs than Mark Vientos did, comparing those two seasons, but he got an extra 225 plate appearances. And if you extrapolate out the 25 home runs Vientos hit, and you look at it through a sample size that adds an extra 225 plate appearances to it, he was on pace for 41 home runs. So more than Pete Alonso. And he outslugged Pete Alonso 581 to 579. Now, granted, Alonso spent more time in AAA than Vientos did. And if he had stayed in AA that whole year in 2018, his numbers would have been insane. But the point is, the power that we're talking about here, this is one of the few guys that could possibly come up this year that could give them a real boost. And so now that he's at this point, you really got to start to keep an eye on him, because if Dom Smith continues to struggle, if Eduardo Escobar continues to struggle, if J.D. Davis continues to struggle, there's going to be a little bit of a push to get him up. Now, the problem is he doesn't really have a position. At third base, he hasn't been great. They tried him in the outfield. That hasn't worked. When I was in Syracuse, he was playing first. I don't know how much they're playing him there. It's mostly a DH. But, again, this is a bat that can change things for the Mets. Another thing I'll say is, coming into the year when I wrote this article about Alonso and Vientos, one of the things that I wrote in there is I said he could use an additional 150 to 200 plate appearances in AAA. He's at 117 right now. So if you're looking at 200 plate appearances as a sort of barometer to get to, this month of June is pivotal for him. You know, you probably average, 75, 80 plate appearances in a month. If he goes out and he tears the cover off the ball in June, let's just say he has the exact same June he had last year, but at the AAA level. So let's just say hits 324, 407 on base, 775 slug. And that's what he basically did in May, just a little bit less power. So if he can have a little bit of an uptick in power, he still hits for that high average. He's getting on base a ton. He is going to make it tough on the Mets, where I could see in July, when you're getting close to the All-Star break, thinking maybe we should call this kid up. It's just something to keep your eyes on. I think that as the Mets continue to win, that there's not as much pressure to make these type of panicky moves. So you should slow play all of this. But I would like to see some at-bats from Mark Vientos before the trade deadline. Because instead of trading Mark Vientos to get an impact bat, Mark Vientos could just be that impact bat for the Mets team. And if he's that, and you had that under control for years, that's just going to be another exciting piece to think about. And I am looking very much forward to the future with guys like Vientos, Beatty, Alvarez, maybe even Mauricio. And I'm getting towards the point where I'm ready to move on from some of the players of the past. I think a guy like Dominic Smith, J.D. Davis, these are guys that I believe are major leaguers, but I think they need to find their home elsewhere. They need to go to, you know, a Reds, a Cubs, a Pirates, one of these teams where they can play every day and prove that they can hang at the big league level. Because serving in these weird bench roles, I just don't think it's the best for them. And I think if you could consolidate multiple players and put in a budding star like a Vientos, that's just going to take this Mets team to a whole new level. We'll see if that ends up happening once we get closer to the All-Star break. Now, I want to talk about a guy that I could actually see up any day now, which is Jake Mangum. So we're going to get to him in just a minute. But I'll tell you, I love brownies. I don't know what I would love more than brownies. But now I have a way to satisfy that craving without feeling bad about it, because there's the new brownie batter puffs from Built Bar. These are delicious. The puffs are the first ever protein-infused marshmallow. It just brings the protein bar game to a whole new level, and they're available right now at built.com. They're delicious. They all come covered in 100% real chocolate with 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, only 7 grams of sugar. The brownie batter puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. Great for breakfast, great for after workout, great for dessert, and they are made with the collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. The brownie batter puffs will have you completely forgetting that you are eating a protein bar. No need to pinch yourself. This is real life. If you want to try the brownie batter puffs, go to built.com and use our promo code LOCK15. Again, that's built.com and promo code LOCK15. You'll get 15% off your next order. All right, so the next guy I want to talk about for our Friday Farm Report is Jake Mangum. He was drafted in the fourth round by the Mets. This is a guy that played all 4 years in college. He's 26 years old. You're going to rush a prospect like this through your system, get into the show, and see if he can hang. And honestly, I think he's knocking on the door. I really do, because you look at Travis Jankowski really struggling right now. You think about where the Mets roster currently sits. And I do wonder at what point would they consider having Mangum come up to fill that Jankowski role. Now, I don't know if they would necessarily option a Jankowski. Maybe it's the next time there's an injury, you could see a Mangum. Let's just say, for example, we find out, and let's hope this is not the case, but let's just say Jeff McNeil, his knee isn't responding, and so they want to put him on the IL for 15 days. And again, hopefully that does not happen. I'm just throwing out a hypothetical. You know, something happens tomorrow and Mark Canha hits the IL, right? Mangum is the next guy that gets the call. And I think that he's ready for it because, again, you're talking about his age and everything else. He's going to play good defense. It's going to run well. You could even tell when I went to that game in Binghamton that he's a good character guy. Like, he's the guy that when he's running off the field that he's saying, you know, let's get him back. Let's get two more of this thing. Let's go. Let's get him back. He's that leader guy, the rah-rah type guy. You know, I think he's Ole Miss's, Mississippi State's all-time hit leader. And he might have been the SEC all-time hit leader. The guy had an incredible collegiate career. And what you've seen this year, first month of the season, slow start like Vientos, hit 200, 273 on base, 333 slugging. Then the calendar turned to May, and this is why he earned the promotion up to AAA, hit 367, 433 on base, 483 slugging. Now, in his first couple of games in Syracuse, he has racked up hits. Tonight, a four-hit game. Day before, three hits. First game went 1-for-2. So far in AAA, he's hitting .667, .714 on base, .917 slugging. I don't think those numbers will hold. I don't think he'll hit .667 on AAA, but he's a guy that can get on base, and he has started to play a little bit with launch angles, so I think he can run into some home runs. I actually think he probably does have a little bit more pop in his bat than Jankowski. I would stop short of calling him the next Brandon Nimmo. I've seen a couple people do that on Twitter. It's not even a comparison. Okay, Brandon Nimmo was a first-round pick, okay, out of high school. It's just a different level of caliber of player that we're talking about. Jake Mangum, I think his ceiling is probably fourth outfielder, maybe. Potentially he can be a starter, but it's really more fourth outfielder. but a really quality one. And he can carve out a nice career for himself. You know, look at Jake Marisnyk right now. He's still out there, and you know, running down fly balls somewhere. I don't even know where he's at. Is he in? I'm going to look this up now. And then both Jakes. How about that? Where's he at now? Pittsburgh. I knew he was in some NL Central team. He'll go from the Reds, the Cubs. He'll just kind of bounce around there for a little bit. But I think that's the type of player that you could see Mangum become, a guy that's going to be on a lot of teams for his defense. And in the right season, he might hit 270 off your bench and get on base at a 350 clip and run into 10 home runs or 15 home runs. I think that he could be a really useful piece for the Mets over the next couple of years here. You know, as you try to think about what your outfield situation looks like moving forward, he could certainly factor into the mix. And it's one of those things that I think we've talked about a lot in farm reports. It's been frustrating over the last couple of years. I just mentioned Marisnyk, when the Mets would go out and try to acquire that fourth outfielder via trade, Keon Broxton, Jake Marisnyk, Kevin Pillar, signing him last year. And I think they did a great job this year identifying Jankowski as a guy that could sign on a minor league deal, and then he earned a spot out of spring training. But to have a Mangum that could fill that role for years, it's very similar to the way that I think Luis Guillorme is going to be on the Mets bench for some time, even though I wish he would get a little bit more of an everyday role. And speaking of Guillorme, if you're watching on YouTube, let me clear my name real quick so you can feast your eyes on that Guillorme shirt. Yep, I just got this one in the mail. Love it. But I think that Mangum could be a similar type role player off your bench as an outfielder. So I'm excited to see how he progresses as he continues to get acclimated to AAA. So far, so good, obviously. But if he stays high in the next couple of weeks, that's a guy I would look at that could be on this roster at some point in June. I'm that serious about this. He could be up very quickly. The next time there's an injury to that outfield, Jake Mangum's getting the call, in my opinion. Now, this weekend, the Mets have a very important series. So let's move away from prospect talk. We got Mets-Phillies again. Four times already. This is the fourth series, and we're not even in June yet, technically. Crazy how much these teams are squaring off. But if they win this series, the Mets are going to be sitting pretty when it comes to the season series. So I want to talk about that in just a minute. But first, our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports info. Find out the latest odds, news, and sports developments, including this year's basketball playoffs, Major League Baseball scores, fights, and even next season's NFL futures. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So the New York Mets are about to enter a pivotal six-game stretch where they're going to play a series against the Phillies and then one against the Nationals at home, and they got to win four of these games. I don't care how you get there. I don't care if it's sweeping the Nationals and just winning one against the Phillies, sweeping the Phillies and winning one against the Nationals. Whatever you got to do, get to four wins, because after that, there's a 10-game stretch on the road. You go to the Dodgers first for four. You then go to the Padres. Then you play the Angels. All of those teams have been great this season. They're going to lose at least one, if not two, maybe even all three of those series. That's going to be tough. Very tough. So pile your wins now when you're home against competition that, even with the Mets' injuries to their rotation, they are better than these two teams. In my opinion, head and shoulders better. And we've already seen it play out this year with the Mets versus the Phillies. They've won the first three series they've played, 6-3 on the year against Philly. You know, they only have the two more series in August. So if you win this series, you're sitting 8-4 on the season series. You're two wins away from winning the season series with, I think, seven left to play. It's a good place to be this early in the season, for sure. Now, the Phillies and the Braves just split a four-game set, unless the Phillies had a choke job. Let me look that up really quick. No, they did not. They completed a 4-1 win. So they split that four-game set, which is great for the Mets. All right, no harm, no foul, two games apiece. Everything's sitting right where you wanted it to be. Now, before that, they lost their weekend series against the Dodgers, and they really could have gotten swept. The one game they won, if Max Muncy just makes a play, game's over. Instead, he makes an error, two-run score, and the Phillies win it. Before that, they lost a series to the Padres. So they are 4-7 in their last 11. They have the worst defense in baseball. Their bullpen's a mess. You got to beat this team. You got to beat this team. Thanks to an off day, the Mets can also skip this Trevor Williams turn of their rotation. They can keep him in the bullpen. They can options a Bucky if they want to. And they can just roll with a four-man rotation for the start of this week here because Chris Bassitt will be able to go on full rest for the final game of this series if they choose to. Otherwise, they could save Bassitt for the first game of the National Series and pitch Peterson in that final game. Before that, you have Carlos Carrasco pitching tonight and Friday night against Zach Eflin. Eflin has a 3.65 ERA in the season. Carrasco, 3.50. Eflin got rocked against the Mets in his one start against them this year. Gave up 6 runs, 5 of them earned, did not make it out of the fifth. But his last time out against the Dodgers, he struck out 12 and allowed just 2 over 7 innings. He's a good pitcher, but the Mets are great against righties. So that is an advantage they have in this series. They're going to face all 3 righties. They won't face Ranger Suarez. Game 2, Wheeler returns to the Citi Field mound. Not sure how many times he's been back at Citi since signing with the Phillies at this point, but it's always a little bit of extra buzz when a former Mets pitcher, especially one of that stature, returns. So I'm sure that's going to be a really lively atmosphere on Saturday. It's going to be him versus Taijuan Walker. Wheeler's got a 3.38 ERA now. He's really done a good job for a little bit of a slow start. Taijuan Walker, a 2.70 ERA. Over his last 2 starts, Zach Wheeler, 19 strikeouts. He's dealing right now. His first start of the season actually came against the Mets, where he allowed 1 run, went 4 2/3. If I remember correctly, in that first inning, the Mets really worked him, and he just pulled a Houdini act to get out of the inning, allowing just the 1 run, and from there was pretty much untouchable. So we'll see what the Mets can scratch against Wheeler, and also we'll see how Taijuan Walker holds up. That's the 5th start, I believe, for Walker against the Phillies, which is just insane. Last time out against Philly, he got rocked. I did sort of excuse that on a recent podcast saying, well, you know, that's a lineup that's seen him a bunch, but now they're going to see him again. So really, it can't be his 5th. I got to look. That got to be 4th start. I think it's his 4th start against them. How could it be his 5th start when they've only played 3 series, Ryan? I mean, do you need to look it up? It kind of seems self-explanatory, but let's make sure I'm not wrong. Yeah, 3 times. His first 3 starts of the year, that's what it was. The first 3 all came against Philly. The first one where he went 2 innings, had 4 strikeouts, looked dominant, but had to get pulled because of that shoulder injury. Next time out, 5 innings, allowed 2 hits, 2 walks, but no runs, only 1 strikeout. And the last time, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts, 9 hits, 7 runs, 6 of them earned in 4 innings. ERA went from 0 to 4.91 in that start. And since then, he's allowed just 3 runs over his last 19 innings pitch to cut that ERA down to that 2.70 that I mentioned. So that should be a good matchup. And then it leads us to the final game, which would be Kyle Gibson versus either David Peterson or Chris Bassitt. Gibson was outstanding early this year. The first month of the season, he pitched to a sub-3 ERA. Opposing batters hit 184 against him. Now in May, 4 starts this month, that ERA ballooned to 5.31 of the month, 3.41 average against him for the season. And he does have a 3.94 ERA, which is right around what you'd expect. His career ERA is 4.43. Has faced the Mets 2 times this season. First time went 4 1/3, allowed 2 hits, 1 run. It was an unearned run, 5 walks, but again, was able to get out relatively unscathed. Then his second time out fared much better, 6 innings, allowed 6 hits, no walks, 3 strikeouts, gave up 2 runs. Going to be a fun series. One guy you got to watch out for, as always, is Bryce Harper, who is just scorched earth right now. 7 for his last 35, 11 extra base hits, 7 doubles, and 4 home runs on an absolute tear, playing like an MVP, even though he still can't throw, still only DHing, which helps make that defense even worse than it would be otherwise. But the guy's raking. Schwarber starting to hit home runs as well. He's in double digits on the season. That's a tough lineup. So we'll see what the Mets can do this weekend. They're the better team all around, better defensive team. I think a better, more complete lineup even. They've obviously produced more offensively this year. And I think that with the bullpen advantage and the fact that the Mets do have their good starters going in this series, they got Carrasco, Walker, and most likely Bassitt, they should absolutely win this one. If you win this one, it'll be all right to go into the next series with a David Peterson starting. Maybe you do have to go with a Williams or a bullpen game at some point before Carrasco can pitch. But the Mets are going to be in good shape. If they can take this series, you got to feel pretty good about their ability to get to those four wins before they head out west. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets this week on Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan, but we call him Selly. Locked On MLB is where you want to go to stay up to date with everything going on in Major League Baseball. You can follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.